Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday morning, a wonderful Northwest, wet and cold. We're heading into our exciting autumn days, and welcome to our broadcast today. It's a little different schedule this morning. I'm doing live and not quite so early, but we've got a good word for you this week. I'm going to be focusing on prayer. Prayer is a staple of the church, of the Christian life, of the life of the believer. And yet prayer is something that is not only misunderstood, but ignored or abused in many of our Christian brothers and sisters, including in our own life at times, because we neglect the very thing God's given us to communicate with Him. And the most precious gift we have is talking to the Father. So we want to talk about that some this week. And I want to talk about the thought that prayers never die. Prayers never die. One of the things that happens when we pray is we become connected to the eternal, and the eternal things go into the Father's world, place, presence, and in that place there is no death. So our prayers never die. There's a scripture that we'll go to in just a moment. If you're new to our broadcast, thank you for taking time to stop by. If you just accidentally, by God's leading, led you by, then stick around for a while and find out what we're about. It's not unusual for people to pop in and see somebody they don't recognize or don't know much about and then move on. Well, stick around a bit, and we have some good thoughts to share. And I believe we have some God thoughts to share along the way. So we're talking about prayer today, but we'll get into that in a moment. Subscribe if you enjoy the channel, and come back again. Hit the bell next to it. That'll tell you when we're on. Also on Facebook, you like and you can become a friend and all those things that get you back with us again. So thank you for that. It's a joy to be walking with you all these years, and we continue to press forward. I apologize for missing Sunday night. I was on the road, but our Sunday nights are exciting, and often we'll have interviews with some of the other men and women of God that I have been walking with or that I know in the country and in the Christian community. Praise God. Well, Revelations 5 and 8. I want to go over there and read this out of the Amplified. Well, we won't read it all, but it has to do with the prophetic voice of John the Revelator, and he's speaking into and describing the spiritual world of God. It's unfortunate that we have regulated the book of Revelations for some distant experience that's going to happen in the netherworld, way off in, you know, Ozo land somewhere. It's always in the future, always in the future. One of the things we'll talk about in these coming days is that prayer is never in the future. It's always in the present, because we're communicating with God. And it's a living experience. Amen. All right. This verse refers to that they're holding the living creatures. The King James calls them beasts, a little crude and scary, but they're living creatures. You see, God created all kinds of creatures, not just angels, but He created all kinds of different creatures and living beings, they're called. And they have functions in all forms of kingdom life. We know just a little bit about heavenlies, not just heaven in the future, but the heavenlies. We know just a little bit about it. We're finding more and more out about it as we venture into that world and reports come back out of that world. Some reports come out by people that have died and come back to life again and bring back their testimony. And many reports are coming back of people that go into the heavenlies in the spirit world, spirit travel, spirit motivated, where their spirit goes into the heavenlies and they see and they report and they come back. And reputable, solid prophets like Bob Jones, and he went into heaven 5 times a day on the average. So sidetrack myself. All right. Not sidetrack subject, but I can get off on that subject pretty easy. So this verse says that each of the living beast and the 24 elders of the heavenly Sanhedrin, the heavenly Sanhedrin, you see, there's a ruling bench of elders in God's kingdom that function in the pattern of the Sanhedrin that was in the Jewish customs and culture, because that was all a pattern of the heavenlies, wasn't it? We've gone over this in some detail, but just to reflect back on the fact that the tabernacle in the wilderness with Moses was a microcosm example of the heavenly patterns. The Holy of Holies and the Holy Place, the Holy of Holies and so forth. So it says here, each holding a harp, a lute and a guitar, and they had golden bowls full of incense, fragrant spices, and gums for burning, which are the prayers of God's people, the saints. So here we have in this eternal world, which is reflected in the book of Revelations, that is a now world. It is not a future world. It is a now world that is happening now. And in this now world called the eternals, are those elders pouring out the fragrance before the Father and in the Father's presence, which are the prayers of the saints. So our prayers never die. They go into that eternal world and they keep speaking and calling out for the results and for the answers and for the miracles we need. Amen. You say, well, how come then, if they're still praying, why haven't I got my? Hang around. We're going to talk about some of those things in these morning sessions. The prayers of the saints are poured out like incense. We spray a little fragrance on our on us as we leave. Men are doing it more than they used to. And now we run into a problem with people that can't tolerate incense or perfume, so we've got to cut back. I know I have, because many are sensitive to that, so I'm sensitive to their sensitives. But in some cultures, including the culture of the Middle East and you know, the era of time, especially the perfumes and the incense, and especially with the worship, where they would have incense before the altar and the old Jewish standards, and where the smoke of the burning incense came up before the altar. You'll see that in some of the Eastern religions, the Hindus and so forth. They have a lot of burning incense. Well, that's a cheap copy, obviously, of what we're talking about, but that's the pattern of that perfume coming up, and it changes the aroma of the room. It's not unusual when the Spirit of God shows up in a manifested form in a church service or a prayer room or a person's bedroom, you know, wherever they are, and you can smell different types of incense, perfumes and scents. So this is not a side issue, but Bob Jones, who was a strong prophetic voice in the last 30 years, he's gone on, he stepped through the veil a few years ago, but you can go on his website and find a list of perfumes, incense, and smells, you know, odors that represent different things. If you smell a rose, if you smell a cinnamon, if you smell, you know, different things, it's indicating that there's a different healing or a different type of anointing that's in the room. Very, very interesting and intriguing to see all the layers and the levels that God deals with us. Okay, so we have the prayers of the saints that have been bottled up or in a bowl that can be poured out before the Father. As you are aware, this is not my my teachings, and the time with you is not a in-depth 101 Bible school teaching, but more an inspiration to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So dig in, get your book out, get your Bible out, get your study, you know, whatever you like to study, and you do get your face in the face of God. Amen. My commission as a part of the fivefold, pastor, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, my commission is to stir you into your gift and to excite you into your anointing and to woo, you know, as a carrot on the stick. Come on, come on. There's a world of the Spirit that you have not touched yet, and come in and enjoy. Hallelujah. Once you taste and see, what's that old statement? I haven't heard it, I suppose, for a while. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, we're doing more than tasting. We're buying the store. the whole lot. We want it all, Lord. Amen. So there's a verse in Psalms 141 that I am turning to that I failed to mark in advance, but let's turn to it. Psalms 141 and 2. We're talking now about prayer. Let my prayer be set forth as an incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer be set as an incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now, I realize we have a physical side of us that when our hands go in the air, our lungs open up and we can breathe better. There's a sensation there. But I guarantee you, when you're coming into the presence of the Lord in worship in church or in your own private time, when you raise your hands, something is connected differently. My father mentioned years ago when I was a teenager and didn't appreciate it as much as I do now. He was in a particular time, one of our churches we were in, that he was seeking the Lord, and our services reflected it. And he said he could stick his hands in certain times up into a cloud or a kind of like a warm presence, and he could feel the presence of the Lord right above him as he stuck his hands up in them. Amazing and wonderful to be able to have that physical and real contact with the anointing. Amen. So the lifting of the hands are as the evening sacrifice. Now, the evening sacrifice, of course, was pretty important for those Israelites. It was the wrap-up of the day, It was the day that it was at the end of the day where they were putting the stamp on prayers and duty and work and love and, you know, all the things they did together. And so the evening sacrifice was the seal. Lord, we've done your will. And in the evening sacrifice, lifting of the hands are as important and as powerful and as wonderful as that evening sacrifice. Amen. Well, we're going to jump into these things this week, and I want to just introduce a verse to you that we'll spend some time on in these next few days out of 1 Timothy 2 and 1. 1 Timothy 2 and 1, back in the T's, you'll have Thessalonians, Titus, or Timothy and Titus in the T's in the New Testament. First of all, Paul is writing to Timothy. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. We'll spend time with that this week as we press into some of the things that God's doing for us and in us and through us and through you all. Your testimonies that you send and your good reports are really encouraging, knowing that we're sparking or touching or encouraging something in your life. So continue to do that, please. It's a joy to read them and to know you're there. Let us know where you are, and let us know what God's doing in your life. I just got back from an outing, and we did a weekend in Rainier, Oregon, and had several people speak to me about being with me in the morning that I didn't know. And when I heard that, I said, wow, there's more people out there than I've met yet or know about. So let me know you're there. The way that YouTube and Facebook, you know, keep track is pretty thin. So it's hard to know who's out there, but we love hearing from you. Amen. And we have a podcast. Don't forget, you can tune in and pick up some of these on your pod machine or your phone or wherever you get them. Glory to God. So this verse, first of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered for all men. I love you. I pray for you as often as God brings you to my spirit, in my face. It's, you say, you got in my face. And I pray for you. And some of you I don't know, but I do pray for you because I know you're there. All right. We will see you in the morning, and we will continue on this subject of prayer. This is going to be a good week, and there's some things happening in the nation that if we don't do our prayer duty and obligation and privilege, if we don't press in and carry this thing through, amen. Football season is here, and it's the guy who carries the ball across the goal line that makes the score. We, as the body of Christ, are that one carrying the ball. We're not going to depend on the politicians. We pray for them, and they do have a key playing because of their legal status. You know, they do things that can help us or harm us. So those are the ones we pray for. And in this verse, it says we need to pray for on behalf of all men. And in other places, it tells us to pray for our leaders and those in charge over our daily routines. So let's press in. This is a time to be sensitive, a time to be on the hunt for victory as we develop our skill and our muscle. Our faith muscle. Amen. God bless you. We will see you in the morning. Until then, we love you and we speak before the Lord your name. Amen.